All right, welcome back. It's a minute past five, and it's a hot and humid afternoon everywhere in Lagos. And on my traffic gizmo, I see that traffic is beginning to mount in some parts of Lagos. That's the Adeniji end of the Third Mainland. I see some traffic build up already. And those of you who are heading into the island, some traffic I see around the marina axis. But it's something we're used to in this part of the world. The crawling nature of the traffic. So, fasten the seat belts wherever you are and prepare for another journey in the world of knowledge, information, and what you can do with the news coming out. Don't forget, before we go today, there'll be an opportunity for someone to win 10,000 Naira, and that's with just a minute. So, the big hat fact for today. It's day three of a strike action by the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria, which has crippled the country's courts nationwide. The impact, the consequences, the ramifications we're going to be talking about today. For those of you who do business with the courts, I'm sure you're already beginning to feel the impact. And this has huge implications for us and our democracy if it is not handled as quickly as possible. I was talking with our guest for this evening, Tunde Kolawole, who is a fantastic lawyer, that when we are going to write down the history of our Fourth Republic, this Executive Order 10 will be one of the landmarks or landmines, it depends on how you want to see it, and which is what we are going to dwell on shortly. Remember, you can always join the conversation on social media at Nigeria Info FM. On Twitter is our handle, hashtag Nigeria Info HF, if you send the messages and comments. On WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. If you've got questions and comments, we will love to hear from you. All right, so we have our guest in for today, Tunde Kolawole. So, legal practitioner, a brilliant lawyer, and one who's a major talking point and reference in several, discussions of national importance we have. And for those of you who haven't ever heard of Executive Order Number 10, is the reason why we're having this discussion, which was signed by President Muhammadu Buhari. And the key provision of that executive order seeks to enforce financial autonomy of the legislature and the judiciary of the states. It's the power given to the Accountant General of the Federation to deduct from the allocations due to a state from the Federation account any sums appropriated to the for the legislature judiciary of that state, which the state fails to release to its legislature judiciary, as the case may be, and to pay the funds directly to the state's legislature or judiciary concerned. In other words, it's just talking about the autonomy that the state's judiciary should enjoy. It's the reason why they went on the warning strike, threatened to go on strike, and have now begun the strike. Just some update, there's been no shifting of the ground. They remain adamant that their demands be met. Otherwise, the courts will not be opened. Tunde Kolawole, good afternoon and great to have you join us on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Good afternoon, my brother. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
Brilliant. And I can't imagine that you're on holiday, a forced holiday.
That's what it is. But we are trying to cope.
The issues appear straightforward, but it doesn't appear that the resolution will be straightforward. So help us understand first and foremost the implications of what is going on with the country's judiciary today.
Well, thank you. Basically, just like you said, everything appears to be very straightforward. But here in Nigeria, nothing is ever very straightforward. When the 1999 constitution was drafted,
right,
and passed, and then became the ground norm, the operating law in Nigeria, unfortunately, financial autonomy for the legislature and the judiciary were not provided for in that constitution. But when that shortcomings in the constitution was identified, the legislature, the National Assembly, and then the State House Assembly in 2010 amended the Constitution. And in Section 81(6) or thereabout, it provided for financial autonomy for the judiciary and the legislators at both the federal and the state levels. Furthermore, when it was found that that provisional constitution was not being respected by both the executive at the federal level and then at the state level, the president in 2020 also went ahead and issued an executive order directing that the autonomy, the financial autonomy of the legislature and the judiciary should be respected. Judicial workers have also in the past approached the court to compel the executive arm of government at both the state level and the federal level to start respecting that provisions of the constitution to allow the judiciary and legislature to have financial autonomy. Well, thank God, at the federal level, they have started complying. But at the state level, the state governors have refused to comply. In fact, immediately, Mr. President signed the executive order 10.
Right.
All the state governors rushed to Abuja to hold a meeting with Mr. President.
Right.
Asking him to take action on the granting of financial autonomy to both the legislature and the executive. The reasons for this are not far-fetched. Money or funding has always been an instrument of control for both the judiciary and the legislature by the executive arm of government, especially by the governors and also by the president. You also remember that the executive arm of government at the governors, at the governorship level and at the president, I mean at the governorship level, have never allowed the local governments all over the country, the 774 of them, to enjoy financial autonomy, whereas they are supposed to be an autonomous arm of government with defined responsibilities under the Nigerian Constitution.
That's another landmine set to explode very soon, the overbearing influence of the state government on the local government. But Mr. Kolawole, help us understand also to this... This whole problem around people saying that the state governors, for example, arguing that the federal government overreached itself through the executive order, because in the federal system, the federal government handles its own courts, and if it makes a decision of that nature, it cannot decide to begin to work. I know the matter is in court now also, to telling the states, this is what you should do in terms of the autonomy with the judiciary within your states.
I don't agree with the governors at all. I don't agree with them. Like I said, when you look at Section 81 of Section 6 of the Constitution that I said,
I
grant financial autonomy to both the judiciary and the legislator. It didn't say financial autonomy for the legislator at the federal level. It didn't say financial autonomy for the judiciary at the federal level. It said judicial autonomy to the legislator and the judiciary at all levels, both at the state level and at the federal level. So if the governors were law-abiding people, they ought not to be contravening that section of the Constitution in the first instance. In fact, in my own humble opinion, the contravention of that section of the provision is an impeachable offense, which if the legislature at the state level are not being in the pockets of all these governors, it would have been good justification for the respective state legislator to impeach any governor that refuses or violates that constitutional, that provisions of the Nigerian Constitution. In fairness, I agree to some level that the executive order was not even necessary. It is superfluous because an executive order is never superior to the Constitution. And the president even needn't have issued any executive order. He should just have directed the Accountant General of the Federation and then the Minister of Finance to start complying with that provisions of the Constitution. And any governor is not going to be complied you can be deducting the money equivalent to the judiciary at the source, at the federal level, and reminiscing to the different judiciaries, and also to the state legislators, right from Abuja. That ought to have been the action the president should have taken instead of issuing another superfluous executive order that state governors should start complying with what is already provided by the constitution.
And so for what we've seen so far now, it doesn't look like any of the states is ready to budge yet. I mean, I've been going through the wires and seeing whether any state is speaking with any of the officials of the Judicial Staff Union. Instead, they've been more in, the Judiciary Staff Union has been more interested in ensuring compliance and that nothing happens within the court system. People are beginning to say that this is a stalemate, that no one is going to blink.
Well, but unfortunately, somebody has to blink. And it is the governor that will have to blink in the sense that, look, the constitution is sacrosanct. It is the ground norm. Nobody, howsoever, no matter how powerful you might be,
right,
you go against the spirit and letters of the constitution. For example, we have also been told that the governors have even rushed to court to file a suit compelling the president, I mean, asking the court to order the president to suspend action on financial autonomy for both the legislature and the judiciary. Let me give you an hypothetical example.
Go
if
ahead.
The legislature has been had enjoyed financial autonomy.
Right.
The kind of thing that we saw the governor of Edo State do to the legislator when at the time he never had majority and when he feared that they were going to impeach him, it would have been possible. But because he holds the wallet, he is in charge of the funding. He was able to use all that wherewithal to cripple them. And he got away with it, inaugurating the Edozeal Assembly in the middle of the night when the conduct of government business should be done during the day. About 9 members of the assembly, that is about almost 30 or thereabouts, were also the only ones sitting. They didn't allow the other members to participate in the sessions of the assembly. So, there might be a prolonged the tango between the governor, the governors, and then the legislators, and the judiciary, and the judicial service workers. Who have embarked on a strike, maybe a little bit prolonged, but sooner than later, there is no, I have no doubt in my mind, about the judiciary at the state level and the legislators will eventually enjoy the financial autonomy that the constitution has granted them to them. But we might also be having some serious challenges with regards to that financial autonomy in the future, but that wouldn't be an excuse for the governor to start withholding the money that should ordinarily go directly to these other arms of government. What are some of the challenges that we might be expecting? I mean, one, you and I do know that when the National Assembly and the State Assembly appropriate money, it is an estimate of both the revenue and the expenditure that is expected to be made within a particular period of time.
Right.
If, for example, there is a fall in oil revenue or money that is accruable to the government from both internally generated and the externally generated revenues falls short.
Right.
It will be difficult for the Accountant General and also the Minister of Finance to begin to release money that is not available to these different arms of government. Furthermore, all over the world, monies are managed. It's not immediately that money comes in, you just begin to send it out.
Right.
There must be some control somewhere because you must also prioritize. For example, now Nigeria is at war with the Boko Haram.
Right.
And we are also having challenges of urban banditry and rural banditry from the Fulani Hausmen and then all the hoodlums that we have around the cities and what have you. If there were to be a meeting or a deliberation of the Accountant General of the Federation as regards how money should be appropriated and shared and all that,
right,
I would want to think The Minister of Finance, for example, might say, look, with the what we have in our hands, the little money that is available, it is better to prioritize to give more of this money to the army to be able to defend the territorial integrity of the country and guarantee peace.
Right.
Than, for example, saying you want to expand the court or build more courtrooms in a place like maybe Lagos State, for example.
Right.
Furthermore, if in the future, as it is expected, the chief judges of the respective states now have their own money and are allowed to spend it the way they do like, when they now begin to build, to construct buildings, I mean, to award contract for construction of buildings, supply of equipment, payment of salaries, if any of these chief judges of the respective states are found wanting,
right,
or are accused or are led to award contract to themselves and all that,
right,
will the police be able to move in with their handcuffs and arrest them and begin to prosecute them? It will raise some very, very serious challenges.
Massive
especially
challenge.
In the light of the judgment in the Nganjiwa's case, in which the Court of Appeal has ruled that it is only the NJC that can discipline, or that must first and foremost discipline judges.
Right.
Before the police, the EFCC, ICPC, or any other person can ever think of disciplining them.
Right.
Right. And you and I will know that all over the world, people have a way of protecting their respective territories. And you and I are aware that of some of the monumental corruption cases that we have been seeing in our court, so many judges have been retired or sacked for accepting bribes and all that, including chief judges.
Right.
So if those chief judges now begin to award contracts and what have you, and they are found wanting, what is going to happen?
Right. Now that you've you've mentioned the Chief Justice of Nigeria, before you came out, I was saying that when this is over, there is no way the country's judiciary's landscape will ever be viewed the same way it is going by comments from Jusun saying they will stick to their guns until a change happens. And if it happens, it will be unprecedented, even though it's been an abnormal system we've been running in the last 19 years, especially when you view this from the lenses of what a democracy should be in terms of the separation of powers. This hasn't happened, like you mentioned, whether with the state and the local government. Many of the state legislatures simply rubber stamps of the executive. And one of the reasons perhaps they would be the worst candidate to intervene in the ongoing crisis now between the judiciary and the executive. But what would you say? Justice Tanko Mohammed was asked the question, you know, when he asked the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria to sheathe their swords and return to work, and they told him instead that talk to the governors because they are the ones who should do it rather than you talk to us. And he said, if I talk to the governors, I fear that I will be owing them something. If I plead to the governors and they agree, I will have a debt at some point to pay, his spokesperson was quoted to have said. What do you think? The CJN, you think it could weigh in on this and something could happen?
No, I don't think so. I think the neutral position that the CJN has tried to adopt in this matter is a very, very good one. A very, very good one. You and I remember what happened to Honorable Justice Onoge, the former Chief Justice of the Federation.
Right.
There were just mere allegations that he was obnubbing with some politicians in the PDP. And that because of that, he might likely be influencing the decisions of some of the election petition tribunal that might be coming before our court.
Right.
Because of his close relationship with some of these things. Even though those allegations were not proven. Now imagine if the present Chief Justice of the Federation begin to hold meeting and start begging these governors to allow the judiciary enjoy financial autonomy. Our politicians are very unquestionable people. They are also incorrigible people, the governors. They might want to tie the acceptance of the plea of the CJN to some conditions and the obligations. Some of them might start making requests that my lord might not be able to grant or to honor. And then with that, they can begin to blackmail him in future.
Right.
People can also start accusing that he's been obnubbing with certain governors and certain people, and that is the reason why decisions that the Supreme Court and some of the courts are what they are. So it is better for the CJN to maintain neutrality than the way it's doing. And that, in fact, there is no reason whatsoever for anybody to start begging the governors to respect the provisions of the Constitution, to respect the executive orders, to respect the judgment of the court that has said, look, financial autonomy should be respected by the respective governor. Nobody else today, we shouldn't be begging them to do the needful. Rather, if we were in a serious society, the court themselves should have started punishing the governor, the executive arm of government, for disobeying the Constitution. So that when cases come from some of these places and all that, my laws in the respective court can say, look, we are not going to hear your case until you have obeyed or respected the Constitution and obeyed these courts and these other orders. Decisions of the court. But unfortunately, we have not started having that affirmative action, that calling from our court to compel the executive arm of government to do the needful.
Right.
In case furthermore,
go ahead, sir.
Furthermore, the CJN and then the different judges, chief judges in the respective states of the federations and all that.
Right.
You and I do know that the governors have been using this money as an instrument of control. And because of that, most times, the courts may even be afraid. I'm not saying they've been doing it, but they may be afraid
of even giving some judgments
against
the executive
arm of government.
Yeah, you make a great point, because sometimes I've often viewed with some sort of, you know, concern when you see a governor, for example, carrying out renovations on courtrooms and then handing out vehicles to judges, and then afterwards the BDS called in and you hear people say, thank you very much, Your Excellency, for what you have done. Is this normal, Mr. Kolawole?
No, it's not normal. It is abnormal. You're asking a man who is a civil servant, I mean, who is an employee of the people, so to say.
Right.
Because the governors are employees of the people. They are not employees, they are not obas, they are not obese, they are not our masters. They are respecting the provision of the Constitution, is the right, I mean, they are bound to do it.
All right, Mr. Kolawole, we'll go on a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more, open the phone line so that we can have the people interact also to look at the implications and the consequences of having the courtrooms shut down this point in time. Remember that you can always join the conversation on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is at Nigeria Info FM, hashtag Nigeria Info HF. Also too on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. And Mr. Kolawole, I'm sure you can go grab yourself a coffee, cappuccino, mochaccino.
Thank you.
Soda. And we'll be back in just a while. Please stay with us.
Thank you.
This is Hard Facts.
All right, welcome back from that break. Some break. And so we continue our conversation. In case you just joined in, you've not missed too much, because you'll get into the discussion almost immediately, because it's the third day of an industrial action carried out by the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria, demanding their financial autonomy, amongst a number of other things which contained in the President's Executive Order 10 signed last year. And Tunde Kolawole, a great friend and legal practitioner, has been helping look at many of the issues and the implications on the country's judiciary. Indeed, it is said that the wheels of justice does drag surely and slowly. With what is going on, you can imagine the caseload files. Anything you have to do within the court system has been put on hold. So, think about the costs and the consequences, massive, huge. Those on bail, I saw a number of people in Black Mariah's couldn't go in, had to go back, and it will mean that the justice will continue to be delayed until the Judiciary Staff Union of Nigeria decides to stop. But right now, they're adamant. Tunde Kolaole, you're still there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Brilliant.
I'm ready for you too.
Excellent. So some comments coming in on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Reverend Adesina Oyotoyinbo from Matogun says, I really love the position and request of our judiciary this time. It is a very good step to rebuilding and restructuring Nigeria's governance system. People keep preaching right mindset as solution to our problem. He says, no, people will develop the right mindset in and towards governance when laws put in place as a system operates independently. Leaders, religious and political, are currently above the law, and that's why they rule instead of lead. Very well thought out, Reverend Oyotoyinbo, for your comments. Please keep it coming. People say this is some sort of soft restructuring. Is this an exaggerated thinking, or it's indeed some sort of restructuring going on in the judiciary system, rather using the judiciary system as a case study, Tunde Kolaole?
No, I think it's a kind of a peaceful revolution that is going on. It's a very, very peaceful revolution. And then we must commend the staff of the Nigerian judiciary for the courage and their doggedness to be able to embark on this strike and for all the positions that they have taken in the past. Like I earlier on said, they have once gone to court and won the case.
Right.
Which the federal court said, look, the governor should start to respect the constitution. But they will not abide by the decision of the court. So it's more than, it's a revolution, in my humble opinion. And just like the reverend gentleman who has contributed has said, at the end of the day, this country will be better for it in the sense that the grain will be separated from the chaff. The respective arms of government will know their responsibility, their duties, and how to finance it. We cannot say, for example, that because one or two chief judges in state might misbehave or misuse the money or not apply it the way it should be applied, then the whole of the judiciary at the same level should not enjoy financial autonomy. That is not the right way to go. Whoever is caught at the end of the day not to be doing the right thing, I mean, we'll find a way to address that. That is to say, when we get to that breach, we'll be able to cause this as it were.
Right.
So I foresee that the suffering that we are going through today, all the shortcomings that we might be seeing today and all that, is worth enduring. In the sense that I have never seen anywhere in the world where people would just concede whatever privileges that they have over others. So disorder others when they are challenged. You just must sacrifice something. Liberty, eternal vigilance, they say, and then liberty is never given on the platter of gold. People must fight for their freedom. They must fight for their rights. They must insist on what is right. That both the executive arm of government, both the judiciary, and both the legislature to begin to do the right thing as prescribed before in the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
So, right.
The businesses community are suffering.
Right.
We as practitioners who ply our trade in that areas are suffering. And there are so many people, especially those who are in the prisons, who are awaiting trial. Most of those trials are going to be postponed and all that till God knows when. And you and I know that the Nigerian prison is not a place to be. That is a hell on earth.
Absolutely.
Another area that we require to look at as a people. Because when you put people into prison, the intention should not be to ruin, to destroy, or to kill them in there, or to starve them to death.
Should be for reformation.
Be able to get them to reform, to be able to change and become better human beings.
Right, Mr. Kolaole. So,
for now,
sorry to Nicole
our
Ali.
Prisons are great, I mean, are held on us.
Right. So we've reached a landmark here, which means we're going to take in phone calls so we get the millions of people who are listening to get part of the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. There is a line for the female callers who want to call. 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. Michael, I see you've been waiting patiently. We take you in now. Michael calling in from Suleri. Let's do this very quickly so we can speak with as many people as possible. Go ahead, Michael.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. We can hear you.
I have to start by commending your statesmanship. You are a balanced journalist of our generation. I've been listening to how you handle common issues. It shows you are a balanced journalist. Me, I've been a journalist from the 80s. I've compared your journalistic behavior with the present and the past and discover your balance. Many of us nowadays tend to tilt to one side. That is, some of them become spokesman of the government. Spokesmen and women of the government. But I think you are balanced. When I spoke last time, I wanted my friend Sankore to call me and say something. You see, let me go straight to the topic. The judiciary in Nigeria.
Michael, sorry, Michael, but you're very close to the device you're listening to, so we're getting the feedback. If you move away from it, it will be good. Good. The device you're listening with, you're too close to it, so we're getting the feedback.
The judiciary is something we are talking about, isn't it?
Right.
Yes. You know, all of us in Nigeria know that the judiciary, the people lost confidence.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll have to let you go because we're getting a lot of feedback from you. Thank you very much. 0700-993-993. Let's hear what you have to say. Call in and tell us. On WhatsApp, Ade from Suleri says, my learned brother Tunde Kolawole says it all. We need our judges to be more courageous to compel the governors to respect the Constitution. The governors and political office holders must realize that they are in office to serve the people, not themselves. But most judges are scared of doing the needful because most got to the bench through the recommendations or appointments from or by these governors or political leaders, politicians or godfathers, godmothers or political royal fathers and religious leaders. And then he also says, he agrees with the CJN for refusing to talk to the governors because they will surely blackmail the CJN. George is in Agege. Hello, George.
Hello, Ogogo.
Aha,
good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, George. Please go ahead.
Yes, I want to put a question through to Rotimi Sankore.
But Rotimi is in. This is Tunde Kolawole, who is a legal practitioner.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I want to say Tunde Kolawole.
Okay, good.
What is the place of education in this respect? Where our governor flauntly disobey executive orders? What is the place of that? And that boils down to, you know, doing proper background check on these governors when they are about to be nominated or elected. Yes, that we must do serious background check on them. Yes. Oh, you don't agree with me?
Absolutely, it's important. Well, we ask the questions and then hope that the electorate, when it's time to vote, voting the right candidate. But that experiment, the way we say, be as you get, we haven't always had the best people.
We cannot elect you to come and serve us, and are you now being lord over us? It's never done. And I thank God for the way things are turning around in Nigeria now, that the electorate, we are beginning to take our destiny in our hands. Look at what the judiciary, Jusson, what they are doing. They're demanding for their constitutional right. Good evening.
All right, George. Thank you very much. Keep them calls coming in. Goke from the United Kingdom. If we can get Tunde Kolawole back, it looks like we lost the connection with him. But please do try to get him back so he can respond to questions from the listeners and the viewers online. Goke from the United Kingdom says, I support the strike. It's high time we have a peaceful revolution to do things right. Judiciary, local government, legislators must have financial autonomy. Chudi is in Lekki. Hello, Chudi.
Yeah, Chus. How are you?
Chuk, sorry about that. Go ahead, please. We're
no,
great.
It's okay. Good evening.
Right.
So, basically, it is more than just going on strike. It goes beyond going on strike. Like the other lady pointed out.
Right.
Where governors and even the president disobeys court orders also need to be looked into. And most importantly also is the fact that the governor is the one that has to nominate, for example, the Chief Justice of this federation. There is no checks and balance in the real sense. So the Constitution is full of contradictions where you say that the judiciary is independent.
Right.
But the Chief Justice of the Federation cannot be appointed without the input of the president. Can the president be appointed with the input of the Chief Justice of Nigeria? No. So the independence must be full independence. As long as that full independence is not there, the ESCO, the executive, will always think and have that mentality that the judiciary is subservient to the executive. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and very well said, Chooks. All right, as we bring the discussion to a close, unfortunately, we cannot reconnect with Tunde Kolawole, but plenty to think about, right? This whole thing is not going anywhere soon. It doesn't look like one of those strikes where they would agree on something, and then we'll get back to it. So at the last count, we have resident doctors on strike. We have the polytechnic lecturers on strike, and then the judicial staff union on strike. But it looks like we have Tunde Kolawole back, and I just have him. Right. So, Tunde Kolawole, you're back with us.
Yeah.
The connection, oh dear. It's gone off again. Well, we'll try as much as possible and see if it can happen. Otherwise, we'll go and then we'll see. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, there's the news happening, and there's listed Lagosian happening at 6:30. So plenty for us to look and talk about listed Lagosian. You can listen to that at 6:30, right after the news at 6. Hello, Tunde Kolawole.
Yes, I'm back.
It's the barrage of calls coming in that has knocked you off.
Okay.
Everyone wants to have a say. So I'll just take one more call, and then let's see how it goes. Oh, sorry about that. Do try and call back later. Okay, I think we can try. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you clear. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Joe. I'm calling from Victoria Island.
All right, Joe. You're going to be the last caller today on Hard Facts. Please go ahead.
Okay, so when it comes to the judiciary, when the governors and the executives have to nominate and decide who the judge will be,
good.
It can never work that way. Just like one caller said, the solution should be that if there is any nomination for a judge, all these things have to change. If there is a nomination for a judge, it should come from civil society and human rights activists. Those are the people that should have rights that will not be biased because they have nothing to eat from the government. They are the ones that should nominate. The autonomy, the financial autonomy of judges and everything should come from that direction. If we really want to do things right in Nigeria, that is how it should be. Good evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Judge, for your comment. So, Tunde Kolawole, we've come to the end, but obviously people are already showing the different branches of independence and autonomy they desire and hope the country judiciary will be like at the end of the day. So your closing thoughts on this one?
Well, my closing thought is to tell the governors that it is in the best interest of both the governors and the governed that we should have an independent legislature and an independent judiciary.
Right.
Look at even the governors themselves. Most times when they are in trouble with in one area or the other, they also rush to court to seek protection. This tells us that the court ought to be preserved as a neutral ground, or that the governor ought to be very, very interested in ensuring that the independence of the judiciary is protected, so as to be able to serve all manners of people without fear or favor. a situation in which you want to start holding on and blackmailing the judiciary with funding does not all go well for good governance at all. It does not all go well for the development of the country. If this society is going to move forward and develop, you cannot, I mean, an independent judiciary is important, is very, very sacrosanct, because it involves businesses, it involves timing, it involves respect for agreement. And that is the bedrock of all civilized society. Furthermore, I want to appeal to my lords, the judges, that they should begin to show courage, as it be shown. The fact that it is the governor that sometimes recommend them, or the politicians that sometimes recommend them to some of these positions and even lobby for them to get some of these positions as judges and other, is not enough to begin to pander to the whims and caprices of the executive of government or the governors. Look at what happened in the US, for example. Most of the judges that Donald Trump nominated and helped to get onto the bench, when the chiefs were down, all those judges ruled against Donald Trump. They stood by the American Constitution. They stood by the American people. They showed courage. They preserved their institution. Because individual personages will come and go as either politicians, as judges, as lawyers, as litigants, and all that. But the entire nation will forever be there if it has a very, very strong institution to preserve itself.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Tunde Kolawole, and we'll leave it at that. It's a rolling conversation. We're going to be on this for till the end and see where exactly and who blinks first, hopefully the governors. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. You have a lovely evening.
And you too.